Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His servant, Pastor Olaide Olaniyo. Be blessed as you listen.
The spirit around it, the meekness around it, we've not seen it that way before because of the way some of these things are in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm saying it because of a manner that we see in scripture that was highlighted by our brother today that is necessary that we take it unto, because one of the things that Dr. Swart said, for example, was that these things are not just for principles of the ministry. It's something that is going to come upon, is coming broadly upon the word of righteousness. The way the Lord described it to me was that the Lord was sharpening the spearhead of the word of righteousness. It's going to be a tool for entering into the body. That is going to, is sharpening the spearhead to enter the body, because these are keys to access souls that hitherto would have shut the door to word of righteousness. So the Lord is repositioning the word of righteousness. Now, the truth is, we've always had the prophetic. And what is the prophetic? He said it in the very first statement. He said, the prophetic is nothing unusual. It's ability to hear God accurately. The mind of God known accurately. That's all. So it's it's nothing unusual. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Nothing unusual, but the ability to hear and authorization to make the mind of God known in such simplicity for the purpose of exhortation, edification, and comfort. Hallelujah. For the purpose of what? For the purpose of exhortation, edification, and comfort. Not for showmanship, not to boost anybody's ministry. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But to bring the comfort of Jesus to his body. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen. So I said, we've always had the prophetic, though maybe not in that semblance. Hallelujah. If you don't believe at all, you know we have this tongues and interpretation, which is equal to prophecy. Amen. Now, the thing about the prophetic or prophecy that we see, for example, in Daniel, it came to my heart while you were teaching to make mention of this. That's why I'm talking about it. Because that activation, if we are not taught around it, you can lose it. Are you understanding? You can lose it. Now, the way the prophetic works, it works with curiosity. It works with what? Curiosity. There can be a spiritual encounter, and I think I made mention of it a little on that Sunday when I was talking, that oftentimes there are spiritual encounters, and in fact, many of the riddles of scriptures were not solved until people ask questions. Without questions, there will be no answers. And we saw it in the book of First Peter, chapter 1. So that the prophets searched diligently when they inquired to know what or what manner of time the Spirit. Now, the Spirit had shown something to them. Hallelujah. So of which salvation the prophet inquired and searched diligently. Are you saying? So diligent search. An inquiry. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? So they said some things. But they didn't say stop with what they said. They searched. Look at what they said. Good. Next verse, verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified. And the sacred. So there was things it testified. It came spontaneously. So because of the grace, spontaneity of the Spirit can come. But you will never move further without curiosity. Spontaneity without curiosity would only lead you to executive summary. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, I can have an advent of the Spirit, see something. For example, look at Moses. When he saw the burning bush, the bush that burns and was not consumed, Bible says he turned to consider it well. Then when he turned to consider why it was that the bush burned and was not consumed, the voice said, off your shoes, for where you are standing is a holy ground. Now, the challenge is that many people are too distracted to pay attention to the spiritual. Therefore, the prophetic cannot prosper in their lives. To ask God salient and intelligible questions, not who gave birth to the daughter, who gave birth to the wife that came married, not those silly questions. You know, some people are just anointed by Satan to ask dumb questions. Bible says foolish and unlearned questions avoid. So, you know, that those questions shows childishness. But learned questions and wise questions, that means you can entertain them. There are some questions, say, God bless you. This question that you have, it is heaven that anointed you to ask them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, I said, some people are too immature, distracted to ask intelligible questions in the spirit. Too distracted from the spiritual, too filled with doubt and unbelief to ask constructive, intelligent questions. God is not afraid of your questions. God is just weary of the purposes of your heart. Because if God answers you according to your question, yours, you can. You know, scripture says this. He said, answer a fool according to his folly. One, he said, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He said, then answer a fool according to his folly. How did he put it? I think that should be Proverbs 24. Is it 24? I think he Proverbs 24 thereabout. Amen. So, if God answers us according to the frame of our heart, our race to perdition can be swifter. Do you understand it? So, God does, 26, said, answer not a fool according to his will, lest thou be like unto him. Then, verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his what? Own conceit. Amen. I wonder why they put the two verses together. But that's for another day. Amen. So, I said, God is not afraid of your question. God is just weary of the posture of your heart. So, in a prophetic, the prophetic is as wide as your inquiry. Yes. I've told us, we've been in, for me, that convention was, is something that we are used to in the north. We've known prophetic activations. Something happened for the teenagers. How many of us were in the teenage church when Dr. Swartz came? Okay. When Dr. Swartz came, he said that he brought a paper out. I had seen the paper with him, so I wanted to know what it was. And he said, he had asked the Lord things concerning the so he drew a diagram and was showing what the Lord says. He talked about two rivers and one say is eagle vision and all of that things that were, don't worry, listen to the teens meeting if you want, but he was talking about things concerning the old walk. I was wondering why he was not declaring things about EGFM in the teens. But he said that was the last platform he had to speak before he's going a journey. So he had to just say it anywhere and just say it amongst the teens. So I was blessed. He also gave me my word. Amen. But that's not... Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, back to the issue of the prophecy. Now, I was curious to know what he wrote. He said the Lord was giving this walk eagle vision to see things afar off and that the walk will last. Now, for me, that was a confirmation of many things that has been said, and a stream was coming from the throne of God. But this is what comforted me. He was asking God. And the more he asked God concerning the things he saw, the more explanations he got. Are you understanding? The more he asked God, the more intent he was concerning the things he saw. And sometimes concerning individuals, the more clarity he came. Hallelujah. Now, the nature of the prophetic works. Now, that doesn't mean that everything you ask you, they will give you what you are looking for. Some, they will tell you, don't worry, it's not your business. Rather, but that is still an answer. It's not an embarrassment. It's not an embarrassment. It's not an embarrassment. Just like Peter was asking concerning John, what about this one? And Jesus said, what is that to you? If I ask him to stay. Now, they weren't answering anymore. But that it left a clue for whatever will happen. If I ask him to stay till I come, is that your business? But at least we know that this one go take. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say amen. So the nature of the prophetic runs on curiosity without distraction. Number one, maturity, curiosity, inquisitiveness. Now, the more inquisitive we are. Now, the reason for your inquisitiveness has been sorted out, that the only the what it works with is that meekness that is willing to sacrifice for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. He is not seeking to glory out of it. But he wants the body to be built. He wants to serve the body. He wants to what? Serve the body. If I am not meek, the reason why God may not even show the things of your parents to you is because nobody will be able to control you again in the house. Some of us, God has not shown you anything more than Joseph. You say, Joseph, nobody can talk again to you. Nobody can talk again to you. So, but meekness to serve. They had to send Joseph. You know, they stopped the dream, then sent him to pit, to Potiphar's house, for him to... Did he dream any dream in the pit? Did he dream any dream in Potiphar's house? Yeah, no dream again. No dream again. They had to rearrange his life. He became very meek. Daddy's boy went. Daddy's boy what? Went. Became grave, meek, ready to serve. He now understood the purpose of God, that God wanted him to serve his brethren. Then the fullness of that thing came to manifestation. Now, why am I saying this thing? This thing will be widespread amongst us. Are you understanding me? Now, let me say this also. We like I said, we've always had the prophetic. We've had guys that are very, very prophetic before. Some of them prophesied and went. Some of them what? So, don't raise gift above the word, though. You gyrate. That thing has gyration, but you gyrate and gyrate out of order and go. And the word will remain. And the word will remain. So, one of the things, one of the safety nets is this. Whilst gifts are in operation, be subject to the word. Follow the word. Stay glued to the work that the word is supposed to work in your soul. Know that the gift is given not as a stamp of nature. Is given to just help the word access into some territories. But for your own, you need to obey word. You need to stay with revelation. Are you understanding? You need to journey with light. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's what will keep you safe. That's what you are. That's what will keep you safe. If you don't stay with the word gradually, what you are hearing begin to tilt. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Gradually, what you are what? That's how it is in Isaiah. He said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this what? Word, is because what? There is no light in them. So, you can have prophets, you can have those that mutter. But if they don't speak according to the word, it's because there is no light in them. Hallelujah. I'll say this lastly. Did you see that all through the prophesying, nobody was exposing anybody's darkness? Are you seeing the manner of the Spirit? So, the prophetic is not sent to go and open people's skirts, even if it is accurate. It's to bring comfort, not to bring disgrace. It's to bring healing. If you don't know the reason for the prophetic, you'll be a spiritual witch hunter. One that wants to be feared. That's not God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Can God expose, reveal things for you? If God reveals things for you, you will know the reason why. If it's to build up, then it's for your own personal responsibility in prayer. So maturity in the prophetic helps you to be grave, meek, and ready to serve. To bind up broken souls and then restore them to God. Hallelujah. But importantly, that inquiry, that diligent search, probity, you are willing to probe into a matter until you get to the secret of it. That spirit will rest upon us. You know, you need to see some souls. Some souls are light. They don't even know what questions to ask, how to ask questions. Some souls are not detailed. Not only in the natural, even in the spirit, they are not like that. If you've a pastor, our daddy works with many souls. You see, in the natural, oh Jesus, you would have to bring them to many details. That's how some souls are in the spirit. And some people pride themselves in simplicity. Sincerely, simplicity is not, when I say simplicity, don't get simplicity, don't mix it with simplicity of the gospel. Simplicity in some realms is folly. To not exercise yourself in the details of the complexity of things. Not be sound enough to master it and accurately hold it is a disadvantage. So they say that the entrance of the word giveth like an understanding to the simple. So the simple in that is lack understanding. So they want to make the simple wise. That's what Proverbs are. Proverbs, one of the audience of Proverbs is the simple, to learn wisdom. Are you understand? So don't be simple. Say, don't be simple. I'm not saying talking about ladies in dressing. In dressing, be simple. Jotorio Lord. Because somebody will take that instruction and say, ah, pastor said, don't be simple. I want to terrorize them. Be simple in your dressing. I'm talking about in inquiry into God matters, into things concerning revelation. Don't be what? Don't be what? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you blessed today? I said the prophetic will flourish to prosper amongst us. Don't worry. Just keep seeking God and keep inquiring. Just go that willing to serve your brethren, willing to encourage your people. And then you see that spirit will multiply. I see it already spreading. Sincerely. I see it already spreading. Amen. He said, despise not speaking in tongues. Forbid not to prophesy. Some of these things will come spontaneously amidst ourselves. As you go visiting yourselves, sit down in the house together, you're just chatting. Things will come as you are inquiring before the Lord concerning this family, inquiring the Lord concerning your brethren, just seeking the Lord. You just don't want to go empty-handed or light-spirited. The Lord will give you, put an encouragement. And I discover that many of it will be very accurate. Many of it will be comfort to souls of the people that you should bring it forth to. Do you understand it? That's how it will minister. And remember one of the safety nets, you don't have to say the Lord says. Are you understanding? That way you are safe. You are free to be judged. Are you understanding it? And if it falls, so it's not you staying in unbelief. Do you understand it? It's not you staying in unbelief. It's you being wise. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I love that manner. It's just ethics of the spirit. A lot wrapped up in that one single beautiful presentation in the spirit. Hallelujah. Say amen. Like I said, that thing will multiply. It will multiply. It will multiply. It will multiply and mature. It will multiply and mature. It will multiply. Even if you make few mistakes here and there, don't be discouraged. Are you understanding? It will multiply. It will multiply. It will multiply. And God will not have variants of it. Variants. It will divide into many pure streams also. In the name of Jesus. Are we blessed today? So I'm just trying to obey the Spirit. Really, I want to go back to teaching on Sunday. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. That was not the message. So just put it. I don't know where we put that aside. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Some of these anointings is difficult to wear many of them successively. Because there are different garments in the spirits. Hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. You remember what he said, Dr. Stuart. He said, usually prophecy, these things, is better with people who you do not regularly meet. He said, it's better for itinerant ministers. Why? Because so that you are not tempted to speak from knowledge. Do you understand it? So, whilst it's going to be common amongst us, if word is not coming, don't force it. It's good to inquire, but be meek enough to know when the Lord is not saying anything express. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Learn not to force the Spirit. Learn not to what? Inquire diligently, search diligently, but don't force. Don't quash the Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't quash the Spirit. Don't quash the Spirit. Amen. Don't manipulate it. Don't try to generate it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And so, sometimes when, because you can be tempted to spring from your summations, deductions, and not from the Lord, especially along when you are familiar with the ground. When you are familiar with the ground, you can speak from your deductions. And not only from your side, when people know that you are familiar or you are aware and you are speaking, even if it's not from your deduction, it takes a lot for them to believe that it is the Lord. Because Satan will also attack them. But when they know that you don't know this, there's no way you could have known this one, then you speak accurately as to the things that happen. There's a way they know that only God could have done this one. Are you understand what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that the prophetic cannot happen between people that know themselves. I'm not saying that, but it can happen between in matters that I'm not aware of at all. Concerning matters I'm not aware of at all. Not necessarily matters I'm aware of. And if God is speaking to me concerning matters I'm aware of, I'm more meek and more open to scrutiny concerning that. I want it to be judged over and over. I judge it, really judge it, weigh it in my heart, and then allow other people to judge it also, so that I am not deceived. I just want to be safe. I want the church of God to be healthy. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I want the church of God to be healthy. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Is somebody being helped in the house? Like I said, it will be more dominant and it will break forth into many, many streams. It will be diverse. That blessing came upon, is part of the blessings of the Lord that came upon the convention, hallelujah, and is distributed to all the churches that are drinking from the fountain. That fountain, you will find diverse multiple expressions. Amen. Are we blessed? So I want to leave this garment so that I can go into the Disney, but it's so strong. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Say amen. Okay, let me say this one lastly. I hope it's the last. Amen. There is what are called the Nabi prophets in the Old Testament. Nabi. There is in the Old Testament, you see a seer and a prophet. That prophet, one of the Hebrew words that are used for prophet is a Nabi prophet. That's a speaker. He doesn't see anything. He just bubbles forth. Are you understanding? He just bubbles forth. He doesn't see. A seer has very great revelations. Are you understanding? And then he's able to describe his revelations. But a Nabi prophet, in which many times is what happens in the stream that came to us, is one anointed to bubble forth. Are you understand what I'm saying? One anointed to what? Bubble forth, to fount out. And that thing works deeply with a dependence on the Holy Ghost. For example, many of the persons that you, Dr. Stratz, met, it's not as if he has met them and then has God, give me a word particularly concerning this person. Are you understanding? Hey, you are meeting them for the first time. Hallelujah. And then it's not as if God has shown you before. Now, God, there are diverse operations to this thing. God could have, you can have met someone and then God had shown you things before. But then you can meet somebody for the very first time and then God is bubbling forth within you and speaking words of prophecy, new things concerning the nature and the arrangement of his plans for their lives and things that are happening, for to edify, exalt, and what? Comfort. Hallelujah. Now, yieldedness to the Holy Ghost, dependence on the Holy Ghost, because that fount is within. Are you understanding? If you don't have faith to depend on the Holy Ghost and then meekness to accept that you can still be wrong, you will never open forth your mouth and then still be meek enough to say, I'm not in for labor. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, I'm just trying to describe to you the life of the Nabi. The twofold anointing in the prophetic works. Like I said, these things were things that we've taught. God shut it down when we're coming to word of righteousness. And thank God for so doing, because if we had tried to do some things, we'll have derailed things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Atima just on. Do you understand? Say amen. Now, these operations will find their flow. These operations will find their flow. One thing is key, which the Lord has been dealing with us with. Say one thing. What is that one thing? Love, charity. That one thing is the central factor that holds that gift together. That's why that thing was taught after 1 Corinthians 13. Once you lack that thing, you corrupt it. So, you see, part of the reason God dealt charity is to also prepare a safe landing, that by the time some things are going to be brought, there's going to be stature to hold them together and not corrupt it. Are you understanding it? So God's emphasis on that nature is not because he's not aware of giftings and all of those things. Because if he puts those things, you don't put the cart before the horse. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is this. For that prophetic mannerism, one character that is critical, consecration, your charity code must be top notch. Otherwise, that stream will be corrupted. That's what James was saying. He said, should a fountain spout forth sweet and bitter water? He said, these things ought not to be. He said, yet from your mouth you bless God and then curse men whom God has blessed. He said, these things ought not to be. So he was talking about streams that flowing forth out of us. And I said, if any man thinks he is wise, that wisdom. He said, let him show out of his conversation meekness of wisdom. He said that any other wisdom that said okay, he said, who's among you? No, verse 12. See, give me verse 12. So that the fountain set forth same place, sweet and bitter water, can a fig tree, my bread and beer, olive and either vine, figs, so no fountain can yield both salt water and fresh. Verse 13 now. So who is a wise man and indeed with knowledge among, let him shew out of his conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You see, these things. These gifts will prosper amongst us. It will prosper amongst us. It will what? Hallelujah. The more meek, the more loving, the more long-suffering. Sometimes the first people you talk to may condemn you and criticize you and even challenge you and speak evil of you. Some of them will ask you, like they asked Saul, the king of Israel, are you now one of the prophets? Then they will now ask you a question. Okay, to just show you that you're a liar. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I really want to teach today. Amen. But sometimes changing these garments can be very, very tough. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Are we blessed? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You are blessed. I say you are blessed. The hand of the Lord is upon you. And you will excel. Amen. You will flourish in the spirit. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Even if it's only reading the scriptures, we just read the scriptures today and then we'll be done. Is that okay? Are we okay? Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Thank God he had a bed. Then he wrote down the dream. Wow. Say, he wrote down the dream. I hope those are instructive to some people. And told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in the vision, in my vision by night, and a man's heart was given to it. Hallelujah. So it was still a beast, but he had face was like a lion, but he had eagle's wing. Then the wings were cut off. Then it was given a man's heart and made to stand like a man. I'm emphasizing this because you see later that these first three kingdoms or these beasts, they outlasted the last one. In fact, the fourth beast was the first to be destroyed. Are you understanding? You see? So the heart of a man was given to it, and that was the end of that. He didn't die. He didn't go into perdition. The heart of a man was just given to it. Amen? And I beheld another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And the said force unto it, arise, devour much flesh. We didn't hear any other detail about this beast. Verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon his back of it four wings of a fowl. And the beast also had also four heads, and a dominion was given to it. So this leopard had four wings, but not the wings of an eagle, of a fowl. That means it could lift from the earth, but it could not ascend to heavens. Are you understanding? Yes. And he also had what? Four heads. And he had a dominion. Then the fourth one, verse 7. And after this, I saw in vision, night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked off by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was pure as wood. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open, and I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain. So the voice of the horn will provoke the heavens till the killing of the beast, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And as concerning the rest of the beast, like I was saying earlier, the three beasts, is that they had their dominion taken away. So even though it said it was only the last one that they gave dominion to, the first two also had dominion. Are you understanding? Otherwise, they won't say they had their dominion taken away. So they had their dominion taken away. So, meaning that all these four dominions will coexist in the time of the reign of the fourth beast. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding me? That all the dominion of the four beasts, all the strength of the four beasts will coexist in the time. These beasts are kingdoms. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They are kingdoms. Amen. The Lord give us understanding. Amen. He said, verse 11 again, I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed, and given to the burning flame. The Revelation 19, hallelujah. But this is the end. This is not the interpretation yet. Hallelujah. This is end of the matter. But look at, concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season. Then I saw in the night visions, and behold, like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came and the ages of days, and brought him near before him. And there was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Then Daniel said, I was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I was grieved in my spirit. In the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And said, I came near unto one that stood by and asked him, what's the truth of all this? Because, and that's one of the things you must be careful about, revelations and encounters. Not everything you have, you see, have signification and importance. Some of us, in trying to explain spiritual encounters, you have alluded meaning to every single thing, and have become a movie director. You've become Hollywood director, sci-fi or anime director. You know, in animation, there's nothing that can happen. Yeah, in those anime, there's nothing that can happen. Nothing is impossible. Spiritual revelations and encounters are not anime. If you are meek, you can ask. What some people will come and tell me, I have a dream. My wife used to tell me, I had a dream. So if you have a dream, check whether it is important. It's not every dream that is important. It's not every dream that is important. And I am not a dream interpreter. But she wants interpretation to every dream. He said, what does he mean? You are just telling me now. You expect that maybe I have ready-made interpretation for how, as the Lord was showing you, he was showing me the interpretation. Oh, sorry. It never happened like that. Do you understand? But what I'm saying, you can ask, what is the truth of this whole matter? What is significant? Because in every communication, there is noise. Noise. You need to remove the noise and hold there's a Yoruba that said, what do you go daju? No, it's a scripture. Which scripture is that again? How did he put it again? And hold fast to that which is true. Give me that scriptures again. Sorry. I'm experiencing brain jam. First Thessalonians, prove all things and hold fast to that which. I love this First Thessalonians. But don't lose. We cannot despise prophesying. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Are you understanding? It's all despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good and abstain from all appearance of evil. Thank you so very much. Amen. So, prove all things means you also prove your dreams and revelations. Huh? What is cogent? What I should deduce from this? Look at what it says. And this thing, these great beasts, which are four say amen. And we must really, really learn to see things like that. Say amen. I love the way Pastor Mike described it to the teenagers. He said, you know, when you look at the life of a person, they say he lived 1900 to this hyphen. That dash is the summary of somebody's life. That dash. Everything is in is dash. 1900-2005. Everything in between is what? Now, when God says four beasts, four kingdoms, and then the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and they are everlasting. That's it. Now, in the midst of all, between this place and that place, many things will happen. But to God, they don't matter. In the scheme of, people will die. Some people will be born. Some people will suffer. But in the scope of things, they don't alter the outcome. Are you understanding? All the events do not what? Alter the outcome. That is the truth of the matter. Now, can God give you specific details? He can give you specific details. Because when Daniel now said, I wanted to know the details about the fourth beast. Okay, I'll show you more. Are you understanding? Now, Lord Jesus, I'm not teaching this here. I'm still teaching in life. God, Jesus. I give up. Lord Jesus, please pardon me today. Are you understanding me? You know that Sunday was different from this today. It's just the mantle that is available. Hallelujah. Or the mantle I wore first. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Say amen. I'm not going to delay us beyond now. I'm going to finish very soon. And I just trust God. I want to be faithful to Jesus. I really felt I was going to be able to teach some more further, but it's all good. Hallelujah. Are we getting blessed? Okay. So, like I said, between what the introduction and the conclusion, what you have in between, it came to pass. Everything what? Look at Jesus. Look at Abraham. I will take you from your father's house. I will give you a land. Everything in between. How Abraham will suffer, go to Egypt, Isaac will be born, Jacob will have to run away, Jacob will come back, then Joseph will be sold to slavery, then Joseph, they will go into Egypt and stay 400 years, then they will come out and then wander in the wilderness for 40 years before they now start taking over the land, and then they will now war until David comes before the strongholds of Zion is taken. All of that, God didn't tell details. Just, I will give you the land. Everything in between is dash. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Everything in between is dash. That is the truth of the matter. All of the variations is noise in between the end that God has spoken. Sir, they are workings, activities to work the end. Now, God can narrow in to the details of the activities. For example, in the 15th chapter, God now told Abraham, your children will be sold into captivity. Then I will bring them. After he offered up sacrifice, after circumcision, and then he saw all the birds, all wild beasts trying to, he was chasing them until he slept. And then he saw terror. And God said, actually, the pathway for the fulfillment of what I'm going to show to you is that your children are going to go into captivity. And they are going to suffer, oppress them for 400 years. Then after, I'm going to bring them. He didn't say they are going to take them captive. They are going to go. Voluntarily go. Nobody conquered them. Nobody enslaved them. They just went into a country. Vacation. And vacation turned into captivity. Beware where you go for vacation. Unless it is by divine appointment. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Vacation, what the we didn't apply for visa to come, but to now go, they say you must collect exeat. We didn't collect pass before now. We came on royal grant. Hallelujah. Say amen. But God said that was a prophetic design. Hallelujah. Say amen. You will marvel that God is aware of the reign of the four beasts and all the arms. Are you understand? And there is no arm that is not relevant for the development of the saints. I want that to sink in. God is aware of the reign of the beasts. And you see, when we didn't have eye of salvation, we felt that why did God ordain evil? The simple answer is God left evil for the maturing of the saints. God left what? For the what? Not suffering the kind of suffering that will make them inherit it. They are not, it's not provided for them. It's not provided for them. So there is nothing to make them inherit it. So you realize that God left. God is not the author of the opposition, but God left it. It will serve a good cause. It will help his children to inherit light. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We feel that God has to remove evil for us to thrive. No. If God removes, even if we do right, we'll be like angels. We will never rise to the order of ordering the world to come. All that we will be good for is the present. That's the best we will be good for. But if we will be owners of the world to come, then something must have raised us. We must have been born out of contradiction, like Hebrews chapter 12. We must have been children born out of contradiction, affliction. So, the things you are crying to God to remove are the very things that God is saying is your blessing to raise you. So, if God does remove them, he is doing you disservice. He's doing what? Disservice. You know, there's a way angels flourish in his presence. He made them so. There's no contention to who they are. They are just so. They cannot be given charge of the world to come like that. Not that they won't be present in the world to come. They will be present in the world to come. But they don't have charge. So, your contradictions are a blessing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you start thanking God for your contradiction like this, understand it, they are the real treasures of your humanity. They are what? The real treasures of your humanity. If you grow in light, in spite of them, you are coming into a nature with exclusive reserve of the world to come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So don't wish away your contradictions like many of us do. I want a time where I will be free from contradiction. Don't worry. A time, there's really a time, throne. That's Hebrews chapter 12. It said that Let's see from verse 3. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you. For consider him what? That endured what? Such contradiction of sinners against himself. Verse 2. Let's see verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, now he sat down at the right hand of the majesty, of the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him endured contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your what? Minds. For ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He said that, and have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not what? The chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art what? Rebuked of him. So we will enjoy contradiction till we get to the throne. He says it's a talking of love. Say, really? You people don't like gospel. You should say, instead of you to be shouting, yeah! You are not shouting now. No, doesn't this sound like revelation? He said, this is actually love. That you enjoy contradictions till you sit on throne. The contradiction will not stop. Whether you see amen or not, it is so. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Except you don't want to throw. There's another part that is free of contradiction. It doesn't lead to throne. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's a privilege of sons. I call it privilege. Privilege. Say privilege. You know the beauty of contradiction. You know the beauty of it. There is always guarantee of victory. So God causes us always to triumph. Or verse Corinthians 15, he said he gives us victory. He causes us. Give me 1 Corinthians 15, I think 57 thereabout. 57, I'm not sure. Look at this. Look at this. It's 57. 47. No, 57. Yes. Thank you. He said, but thanks to God, which what? Give it. Say give it. So give it is present continuous. Is that not it? Which giveth us the victory. So every stage, every day, God has promised you victory. So if he's promised you victory, why will he promise victory if there's no battle? If there's no contradiction? Are you understanding? So you should wake up every day and say, hey, another day to be victorious. Are you understanding me? That is what overcomers live and breathe. Contradictions. Contradictions will come, but there is assurance of victory. He said it causes us always to triumph. Causes us always to triumph. Get me that scriptures. That's, you see? Sorry. Yes. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 2. So now, thanks to God, which causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. And make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Look at me. Look at me. He was talking about contradictions. If you look at the surrounding scriptures of this, he was talking about the rejoice in contradictions. It's, you know, it's a privilege that you have on this side of eternity. The reason why some people, even after resurrection, they can't come into light like that is because there's no contradiction they are facing. So it is impossible for their darkness to be removed like that. That's the nature of the soul to be removed like that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I said, when we were younger, we used to think, why God? Why can't God? And how many of us have cried, God, why me? God, why me? Oh, God, why me? Ah, Jesus, this should not be me. Okay, who should it be? No, so just one person. So just one person. Hallelujah. Say amen. I know every one of us want to wish hardness away. But God wants to better us through it. Is God's gift in our humanity to raise us better than creation. Are you understanding? To raise us what's better than creation. I'm not talking about tough time last tough people do. I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm talking about. Are you understanding? No. All of those people are still corruptible. They're still laboring for vain vanity. I'm talking about the exercise to make you better than creation. So, say amen. Daniel chapter 7. The Lord was aware of the kingdoms, their kings, and the terror they are going to bring. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Lord was aware of the kingdoms, the terror they are going to bring, and the amount of shipwreck they are going to do partly to his cause. Hallelujah. Did you hear me well? The Lord is aware. And the Lord is willing for it to happen. Why? Because he knows that anybody that is not so proven and then sits on his throne will become another Satan. And those who have believed in him, who do not measure up and fall, are not necessarily now destroyed. They are remedy, as it were. Oh Lord Jesus. Their loss can only be paid for in eternity. Let me put it like that. So God knows that either way, it's a win-win for him. Is what? A win-win for him. It's a win-win for him. Is a win-win for him. Let me say this as I try to close. I'm saying this particularly in the spirit so that while we understand, because I'm talking about prophetic patterns now, sometimes we can be burdened by the magnitude or the burden of darkness or the magnitude of evil in a prophetic picture. And rightfully so, we should be so burdened. Because if we are not so burdened, we won't be quick unto salvation. Nonetheless, the end, the certainty of the end should not, the picture of what is happening should not rob our soul of the joy of the conclusion, which is certain in God. I don't know if I'm painting it right. That regardless of what is, let me bring it to the New Testament a little. Paul. Sorry, I really did not plan all of this, so just bear with me a little. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. We're looking at 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3, which were also prophetic scriptures in the New Testament that Paul seemed to give. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen. Are we blessed? Hope I'm not sounding strange enough. Sincerely, I want to put off this garment as quickly as possible. But, amen. Look at this. He said, now the Spirit speaketh what? Expressly. That in latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving it to seducing spirits. And what? Doctrines of devils. Now, this was an express, say expressly. The Spirit is saying it expressly. Now, he didn't say it to any church. Are you understand what I'm saying? He didn't say any church. He said that some shall depart from the faith, giving it to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created them to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and what know the truth. Please go ahead. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. I used to tell people, including cockroach and lizard, if it be received with what? You feel irritated because you are born in Nigeria. If you are born in China, you'll be eating it on a nose, morning, afternoon, night, and nothing will do you. So, because you are not, someone say, hey, who told you the one you are eating is good? It's not because you were raised with it. For every creature is God is good, and nothing to be refused. If it be received, it what? Verse 5. For it is sanctified by what? And prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be what? A good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in good words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast what? Attained. Now, but refuse profane and wise favors, and exercise thyself rather unto what? Look at the things that he has said. You think he should revel in it, and the gravity, the weightiness, the sorrow of the people departing from saints, a faith, how the doctrine will ensnare people, how. He didn't remain on it. He didn't what? He didn't remain on it. He said, if you put the brethren in remembrance of this thing, you'll be a good minister, nourished up in the good words of our Lord Jesus Christ and in faith. He said, continue to exercise. And he began to talk straight about what things he ought to be doing right. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Like Aiken will say, don't curse the darkness, just light the candle. We can talk and talk about the terror of darkness so much that it's good to understand what it can do, so that we'll be wise unto salvation. But the wisdom is not to keep magnifying, is to know what is to do right. Are you understanding? Now, sometimes you won't know what to do right if you don't understand the magnitude of what Satan can do. But understanding is not also to rival there, but to now focus on what is right. That's the same thing he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, understanding the terror of God will persuade men. Hallelujah. Say amen. Let's see 2 Timothy 3, sorry. I just want you to understand this manner of the prophetic, so that you don't. Some people want to be wailing prophets. Say wailing prophet. Every time it's only gloom and doom and sorrow because of the sin, and you should not rejoice because people are in sin and because what Satan is doing and all of that. And heaviness is never the strength of the church. Joy is. So, in spite of the mourning, hallelujah, are you understanding? In spite of the mourning, the cry, the search, joy must break forth. Joy. What is joy? Joy not at the same, but joy at the light of redemption. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Joy at the end of what God is working. Are you understanding me? So look at Corinthians 7, 2 Corinthians 7. Paul was careful to make the church sorrowful. Are you understanding? Paul was what? Careful to make the church sorrowful. He said that if I make you sorrow, who will bring me joy? He said, I'm sorry because I made you sorrowful, even though the sorrow was necessary for you to repent. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the epistle which had made you sorry, though it were but for a season, not now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might what? Receive damage by us in nothing. So revelations can be damaged to people if it only breaks them down but doesn't build them up. Are you understanding? Are you understanding prophetic manner? Some people want to just break down, they don't want to build up. You can be more injurious than edifying. Are you getting it? You can be what? That means people will receive damage from what you intended to bring good. Now you feel that they must understand the gravity. Oh, so you break them now. You break them. Are you understanding? And you can make a conscience ensnared in legalism and not in grace. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Providing help to some souls here. So the joy of Paul was not that, when I was younger, the height of ministration that everybody's crying. That you cry, you minister, and the people are just standing. They are clamping. You have just entertained. But you minister. The whole church. Anointed man. So one of the prayers, you'll be praying, God, let them live sorry. Let them live sober. Let them be broken. And thank God for God. God is merciful. Sometimes for God to encourage you. Sometimes when you are an elder brother, when your younger ones wrong you, so that you don't feel despised, your parents will call you and beat your younger one. You now feel justified. You go, and your parents will carry the younger one. Now, parents are wise. They know that at the end of the day, one ogededudu oyadusan omoburuku oyalupa. Abi, that's how the Yoruba say that you don't cut an unripe plantain and throw it away. So also an irresponsible child, you don't beat him to death. Yes, that's the Yoruba adage. It's not scriptural. Let you say, I fear no one will be ready. He's not in scriptures. Amen. Now, parents also know how to manage emotions. Sometimes you have children, you have sibling rivalry, you have adults, the adults and the younger one fighting and quarreling, and they have to use wisdom to manage. Some parents are not wise. They show favoritism. And then it can hurt a child so much that the heart become hardened with hatred against the sibling and against the parents. If God doesn't give you wisdom, look at how the father of the prodigal son undoed the two of them. If not, he would have lost his two children. They will hate themselves to the death. Are you? God will give all of you wisdom. Especially those that have plenty children. And all of you that will still have, God will give you wisdom. Sincerely. Sometimes you need to cheat one to appease another. And then carry and just show that what you need is actually not this one. It's me that you actually need. You are balancing the two of them to ensure that Satan doesn't get any of them. Because actually, what you are warring against is Satan trying to pluck the two of them from your hand. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God will give you wisdom, skill. You have skill in righteousness. Amen. Amen. I stumbled upon a video. Sorry, I'm done. I stumbled upon a video. I think it's on YouTube. Maybe it's on YouTube. I think it's YouTube. Of a mother that has twins. He's now sharing drink between the... I think one was telling the mother to wait, to test it, to... I don't know. So I was curious. I wanted to know how the mother will resolve the matter. So at first he was trying to balance it. The other one was saying, and they should wait so that one of the twins just wanted him to have equal. One wisdom came to the mother, said, okay, don't worry, I will measure it. Told the twin to drink her own, drank the mother to drink her own, now took the other one, now shared it. Then both of them drank it, but that was the thing finished. The other one began to cry. He said, lesson accomplished. Next time before you complete, drink here. Even when that doesn't satisfy you, you drink it with contentment. While you are trying to argue with your sibling, whether what they gave you is my size. It's just funny how some children can actually be. Amen. You try that with my mommy? You try that with my mommy? Eh, then who? Then who? That's the last you hear of it. That's the last. That's your Ojo Kokoro. You don't even have Oju instead of Kokoro. You will not have any. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. God will anoint parents specially to deliver children from habits that are unholy. In the name of Jesus. Sorry. Where was I? I was talking about prophetic patterns. Oh, Jesus. So, yes, that the joy of Paul was not that he made the church sorrowful, but love edifies. Love has joy inside. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And you understand what I'm saying? It's joy, peace. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, any loving rebuke should leave the people joyful. Any loving rebuke should, even when they are broken, it should still leave. So that's why I say, in the spirit of mourning, there is still joy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In the spirit of what? Mourning, there is still joy. Never should the people of God be found without joy. Never. Because that is actually the strength that actually builds them. Even when they are mourning, there is a joy. The joy that they are being rebuilt for the hope of salvation is still there. And that should guide the prophetic mannerism of a people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It should guide it. Otherwise, as a vessel that the Lord is using, you can leave damage. You can leave damage in what God is using you to establish. I don't know if you can leave damage. Whew. Lord Jesus. He said that you might receive damage by us in nothing. And go to verse 7 of this chapter. I think this, we start from verse 8. Let me see verse 7. There's something in verse 7. Yes. Okay. 6. 6. Yes. Okay. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Verse 7 now. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me. So I rejoiced the more. Hallelujah. Let's jump back to verse 10 now. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you see that Paul was saying that the joy was not that I made you sorrowful, but I was careful to ensure that you connected to the end of the matter. That means you maximized, you were routed through the right corridor to connect to the hope of the end. Hallelujah. So you see that the Lord is not overwhelmed by evil. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The 400 years that he said Egypt will oppress his people was like there's nothing there. There's nothing in it. It's working its purpose. It's just a dash. The end is certain. Now, those who are wise learn how to maximize life in the dash. Are you understanding? Those who are what? Wise. Learn how to maximize life in the dash. Because that dash is now what spells the difference between those who fall away and those who profit in life and stay. Are you understanding? Yes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. Whew, Jesus. I don't like to be put on the spot like this, but the Lord is with me. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't worry, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord is wearing you, actually. The Lord is wearing you with strong, strong prophetic grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I may not be speaking to anybody in particular, but that doesn't mean I'm not prophesying. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm not be delivering personal prophecies, but that doesn't mean I'm not prophesying to every one of you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We're at a place and at a time, as a people, that the Lord is putting grace upon you. You'll be a prophetic parent. You'll be a prophetic mother. You'll be a prophetic husband. Eating details about the life of your children will be before your eyes. Sincerely, they will just know that you can't hide anything from mommy. You can't hide it. And that fear will be before their hearts that will guide them into righteousness. You know, some children will be going to school. You just know that anything I do, mommy knows. Anything I do, daddy knows. And they know because they've seen firsthand. So you are the Jesus they see in the stead of Jesus that is above. And nobody would ever call you and say, oh, you are saying visions. And no, you may not have platform. It's not the fame you are looking for. Because that thing is a grace to actually keep a soul in check and in righteousness. Preserve it for Jesus It's not for showmanship. So there may never be a time where the people call you out and they say, oh, come and give me what. No, no. It's just for your home. Sometimes it's for your place of work. Are you understanding? You can be a prophetic servant like a Joseph. Are you understanding? That will order. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But nobody will be able to doubt that the Lord's hand is upon this world because of your sake. Hallelujah. So I know that some things are coming up. Nations will give audience to what you have to say about the word of righteousness because of this mantle upon you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because they have known by experience, they will know by experience that there is a manner of God with you. There is a manner of God with you. Some people are not saying amen. Some people are not agreeing with what I'm saying. But I'm saying this thing. These things are true. These things are sure. These things are sure. Amen. These things are sure. These things are sure. These things are what? Sure. These things are sure. These things are sure. These things are sure. These things are sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, let me leave this last note of warning. Remember, the essence of this thing is not to be mulling kakiri kakiri. God will not show you anything. Because your intent is not even for edification. It's not for exhortation. It's not for comfort. It's just to prove your gift. And something else can show you something. Give you a cause to accuse the saints. Even if it is right, the objective is to accuse, not to edify. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the essence of this thing is not accusatory. It's not expose. It's not to expose people. Is to build up. Says to build up. Says to build up. To edify. To build up. To edify. To build up. Edify. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Everyone won. Can we give thanks to God today? Can we give thanks to God today? Ah, Lord. I don't know what you had in mind or what you still have in mind today. But I yielded to your spirit as much as I could. I pray to you. You are the God of all counsel. Flow through your people. Accomplish your intents. Diverse as it may be in every heart. Oh, Jesus. Oredigo. Glini kokoronoven. Adidi novino. Pretus Tefrenio Vremigo Golomai Adino Freston Inglias O Bernetus O Gino Fresta Ligarnatis Oh, Nanish. You cause your weight to rest upon your people. This garment you want to be worn, possessed, taken hold of. You cause your people to wear and be one with it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. But much more, you give us a greater spirit of search concerning those things which are eternal. Those things which belong to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh. Ah. Can we speak in the Holy Ghost for 1-2 minutes? Just want to speak in the Holy Ghost to everyone. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost, everyone. Just speak in the Holy Ghost. Pray. Pray in your spirit. Pray in your spirit. Pray in your spirit. See the parana hatu parana hastelis. See so parada kilo parada hilatis. See so parada la parada kilo parada histis. See so parada la hatila parano hostis. See so parada la barono parada histis. See so peridondesti varidondesti. See si milo beranaya taradistius. Sai so seferono mongria peridostius. Sasu ferunan ze verga mangrius tapai. Thank you. Hallelujah. I've come to bless you. I've put my blessing upon you. I've come to bless you. And I say you are blessed. I say you are blessed. 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 Now say I am blessed. I am blessed. Amen. We've done a little work today. Before now, sorry. During the convention, while the convention was ongoing, and the servant of God, our daddy, was declaring blessing, it just came to my heart that we should extract all the blessings from some of those days, particularly day one, day six. Daddy did. This convention was strange like none other. I was surprised from day one till day six. That day I was just telling my wife that. It's strange. Yes, there was warfare, but the manner of it is, thank God for the breakthrough and all of that. Hallelujah. But you know that this convention is a blessing. Time will fail us to tell all that this convention has done for us. But just take it to instruction. I want us to fellowship with the blessings. So we have extracted the blessings from some of the days. And then put a little background music that was discussing with Pastor Moses. We are not copying the work of EFM. But we just want to maximize as a local church. So we're not saying you should send it everywhere, but just you and your family enjoy it. I think we're going to be putting it on the group, WhatsApp group for the church later on, so that we can fellowship with it all day. Some of them as long as 20, 30 minutes, some less than that, and all of that. But I want us to listen to all of those blessings, especially by our daddy, Reverend Kyle, during the convention. I want us to listen to it over. Yes, listen to the messages also. But the one in the for the blessing, you can put it on repeat while you are bathing, while you are walking. Let it be soaking into your. You can put it in your store, put it in your room, put it in your place of work. Play, just be hearing it. While you listen to the word for edification, you can leave this also to just until the atmosphere of blessing rests in your spirits and you carry it everywhere you are going. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord bless you. There's a blessing going with you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so very much.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.